From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Governor Malibu comes off the rail with a late bid, but it is a shocker. A maiden has won the Jim Dandy. Lauban went wire to wire.
What a horse race. These two nose and nose to the wire. Beholder on the inside, Stella Wind on the outer. Stella Wind's going to beat her.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
The Betfair.com Haskell has turned into a thriller. And Exaggerator has gone right on by. A tremendous performance from Exaggerator under Ken DeSormo to win it by two.
Oh, my goodness, look at Frosted today. Frosted's 10 in front. Frosted is absolutely rubbed in the Met Mile. He was wrapped up.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to Saratoga in Saratoga Springs, New York, and welcome to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, Pope Jude. We are positioned in our usual spot here at Saratoga, which is just in front of the finish line, about 30 yards from this historic main track on another spectacular morning for the sport of Kings. Temperatures only in the mid-50s right now, but we're on our way to the low 70s. Going to be a spectacular afternoon for thoroughbred racing. And happy to have you with us here this morning as we get you ready for a program here at Saratoga that features 12 races, four of those graded stakes, and two grade ones on this closing weekend of the 2016 meet. And JT, when you think about closing weekend, well, you think about it being a bit quieter, and that's exactly the case that we have here this morning.
Yeah, it's almost like a ghost town. It's an eerie feeling. You compare today to, let's go back to last year when we had 20,000 people out here to watch American Pharoah. Now, I realize there's no American Pharoahs running this weekend, but really, it's very quiet here. There's about a dozen or so people on the apron. We don't see any golf carts. No. For a while, it looked like a shotgun started a charity tournament out here with all the trainers and golf carts. A lot of the horses are gone. Only one or two horses galloping by on the main track. Very, very light morning here at the spa.
Yeah, the activity on the main track, certainly not what it has been throughout the meet. Many of the connections have already sent their horses elsewhere, whether it be to Belmont Park to get ready for their fall race meeting, or maybe they went to Kentucky Downs, which opens today. And that's another stellar race meet that runs throughout the month of September. And you look at what they've done with that program and what they have in opening day today. You and I were talking about it just a couple of days ago, Jude, when the entries came out, but they are loaded with horses down at Kentucky Downs.
Yeah, well, the purses are astronomical due to the slot machines, the historic racing slot machines that they have there. And so there's lots of stakes today, $350,000 a piece, and tremendous action. So, you know, that's a meet that a lot of people point to. And then a lot of the horsemen here are shipping their horses to Monmouth Park, too. Good place to finish up the meet down there. And if you have a sharp horse with good speed, good place to race. So it's that time of year, and I'm sure there's some horses that are already heading to Keeneland to get ready for their meet, which opens up relatively soon. So lots of stuff going on.
Getting ready to flip the calendar to the autumn season, and that means that the eyes of the racing world are going to be squarely focused on the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Santa Anita, which are going to be held November 4th and 5th. And we are just 62 days away from the Breeders' Cup, Jude. And you look at the races we have here today. I mentioned the four graded stakes, but two grade ones with the Spinaway and the Woodward, and both of those going to have an impact on what's going to happen later this season in the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, well, it's starting to get really exciting as we head towards the Breeders' Cup. These last 2 months prior to the big days are always intriguing. You like to pay attention. It's the time of year where I'm constantly making notes on horses, trying to check them out in the paddock, in the post parade, see who's looking good, try to get a visual of each horse in my mind. And then when they train up to the Breeders' Cup, you have some kind of idea whether the horse is moving up or regressing, whether they're losing weight, gaining weight, whether they look good. And those things are important when you're handicapping for racing's two biggest days.
We're going to have both of those grade ones for you this afternoon on the network, coverage beginning 5 o'clock Eastern time. Now, that coverage this afternoon because of the plethora of college football games that are kicking off this afternoon, not going to be on SiriusXM, but you can listen worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Again, 5 to 6 Eastern. The cool thing about that, Jude, is that they can stream us. People can stream us anywhere in the world. They can take us with them on their phone, on their computer, their tablet. And if they want to be, you know, if they're driving in the car and they want to tune in, they can simply Bluetooth their phone or mobile device to their vehicle and listen just like it's on radio. So no reason to miss out on that coverage later today.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing, and it's really convenient and easy to do. So pull up horseracingradio.net, hit the Listen Now button, and you're good to go.
It is all part of our Saturdays at Saratoga series, which we've brought your way each of the past 7 Saturdays throughout the meet. All of that coverage is presented by visitbarbados.org. And speaking of Barbados, we're going to, this morning anyways, draw a winner for that trip for two to Barbados that we've been talking about over the past 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, very exciting. We've got a lot of entries, and maybe have a few more this morning as people stop by and say hello. But it's going to be great. Somebody's going to get a nice little trip, 5 days in Barbados. The only thing better than 5 days in Barbados is 6 days in Barbados, or 7 or 8 or 25. But 5 days is fun, and you're going to enjoy that if you win it. So stop by the booth here. Enter if you're around Saratoga, and if you've already entered, good luck.
Yeah, we are going to draw right around 9 o'clock Eastern, maybe a couple of minutes before. It's a very, very busy show. We're going to be packed with guests over the next 2 hours, and here's what's coming your way. First of all, you're going to hear from owner Terry Finley of West Point Thoroughbreds. Now, Terry, as he likes to say, and as West Point likes to say, has become the gold standard in racing partnerships. And yesterday he was kind enough to sit down with Jude and I for a full 30 minutes. We're going to play that entire interview for you here in the first half of the program. It'll come your way in two parts. Part one after our first commercial break, and then you'll hear the second part of that interview with Terry. Some fascinating things talking about racing partnerships becoming the new normal in the sport of thoroughbred racing, and looking back on his memorable moments over these past 2.5 decades. Mike Lakow was named the new jockey agent for 3-time Eclipse Award winner Javier Castellano. That news coming out last week. And, Jude, that's a significant development in thoroughbred racing, so we thought it would be good to catch up with Mike this morning. He's going to join us right around 9 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, that'll be great to talk to him, and a significant bump in income for Mr. Lakow. I'm sure he's quite happy about that. And you know, Javier's such a great rider and a good person, and so that's a cherry job, so to speak.
Eddie Keneally sends out Braidster trying to upset heavy favorite Frosted in today's Woodward. He also has Bachuman coming up on Monday in the Grade 1 Hopeful here on closing day. Eddie's going to join us at 9:30 Eastern time. Then toward the end of the program, we'll take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway, and you're going to hear from jockey Joel Rosario, who will tell you what it's like to ride Frosted, who has been so brilliant in his past couple of races. We'll hear from Joel at the end of the show. So a lot of things to get to. Quick poll question for you at HRRN on Twitter. You can weigh in right now. We want to know, who is your Saratoga performer of the meet? Who has it been for you? You have 4 choices. You have Frosted, who was so dominant in his win earlier in the meet in the Whitney. You have Songbird, who was brilliant a couple of times here at Saratoga. Flincher, same thing, brilliant on a couple of different occasions throughout the meet. And then the final of the 4 is going to be
Arrogate,
who won the Travers.
That's exactly
in track
right.
Record time.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yep. Those are your 4. Weigh in now. If you have a different opinion, you can let us know that as well. At HRRN on Twitter, we'll update the poll question as we move throughout the program here this morning. We'll get to a break. You'll come back here part one of that interview with Terry Finley of West Point Thoroughbreds here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Wonder what it feels like to be an owner inside the paddock before your horse races, but don't know how to get started? Contact West Point Thoroughbreds to get inside the game. You can play in a big way right away by owning pieces of multiple horses, which can increase your chances of action. West Point Thoroughbreds has been professionally managing racing partnerships for 20 years. West Point Thoroughbreds is the gold standard in racing partnerships. Visit westpointtv.com. That's westpointtv.com. This advertisement is for informational purposes only and is not an offer to sell securities.
Adina Springs Stallion Awesome Again has proven to be a breed-shaping stallion.
the sire of 14 Grade 1 winners.
Octave on the outside. Three of them going to hit the wire together. Hysterical Lady, Ginger Punch. Ginger Punch to win it. Ginger Punch won it.
9 millionaires, including 5 multimillionaires.
Game on, dude. Going to write his way into the history books. Game on, dude. And Mike Smith have won the Santa Anita Handicap.
And he remains the only Breeders' Cup Classic winner to sire a Breeders' Cup Classic winner.
Go Zephyr kicking clear, and Go Zephyr is pulling away impressively.
Awesome Again's lifetime progeny earnings are nearly $80 million, with average earnings per runner over $106,000. And he's the broodmare sire of 53 stakes winners. Sons of Awesome Again at stud in Kentucky include Ghost Sapper, Painter, and Oxbow. Learn more about Awesome Again by visiting adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, with the yearling sales fast approaching, we offer Fall of the Hammer coverage to buyers for their auction purchases.
Why is Fall of the Hammer so important?
When the auctioneer drops the gavel and the buyer signs a sales slip, ownership transfers. There is an immediate exposure to the buyer for the purchase price. By calling our office prior to the sale, we can arrange for immediate protection, so there is no gap in coverage.
Are there any other exposures?
Absolutely. There is liability exposure in the event the yearling should cause bodily injury or property damage to others. An equine owner's liability policy will provide just the right coverage. It's stuff like this that keeps me awake at night.
Thanks, Joe, for speaking with us today. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 17th for the 8th annual Race for the Ribbon program. Combining the excitement of high-stakes racing with raising money for the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure West Virginia affiliate. The night features 13 races, including 8 stakes and nearly $1 million in purse money, highlighted by the Grade 3 $350,000 Charlestown Oaks. Racing kicks off with a special first post of 5 p.m. Eastern. That's the Race for the Ribbon program in the $350,000 Charlestown Oaks, coming up on Saturday, September 17th.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're into the stretch, and Frosted yet to be let loose here. He is still in hand as they come into the final furlong. Joel Rosario's not even asking to go at all. He's in front by 2.5 lengths. And then comes FNX on the outside. A late bend from Comfort down to the rail. It's upstart. But Frosted has won with ease in the Whitney. In a final time of 1 minute 47.77 seconds, then it was Comfort, followed by Upstart and FNX. It was a walk in the park for Frosted today.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld. That was Larry Colmus with the call of the Grade 1 Whitney here at Saratoga. Earlier this meet on August 6th, then Frosted just annihilated the field that afternoon. It was visually impressive, and he is back later today in the Woodward looking to give Kieran McLaughlin a second victory in that historic race. The last horse to pull off the Woodward Breeders' Cup Classic double was St. Liam back in 2005, and that's what Frosted will hope to do later this season, all things being equal, Jude.
Yeah, the Breeders' Cup Classic's going to be super tough this year, but it's not to say that Frosted couldn't do it. He's a very nice horse. He's in really sharp form right now. Kieran says he's maintained his form since the last race. He couldn't be better, so looking forward to a big race from him this afternoon.
Should be a good one. You're going to hear from jockey Joel Rosario toward the end of the program today as we get closer to that 10 o'clock Eastern mark. You'll hear from Joel as he talks about riding Frosted, and he'll look back on that performance in the Whitney and the race before it, which was the Met Mile, which was another powerhouse win for Frosted. All right, we told you that owner Terry Finley of West Point Thoroughbreds was kind enough to sit down with Jude and I yesterday, and he took the time. This is going to be a two-part interview for you. It's about 30 minutes long. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Some great things in this interview. And here's Terry on what he had to say about 25 years of West Point. Terry Finley grew up as one of seven children. He graduated from West Point with a degree in mechanical engineering. He served as an artillery officer in the Army for 8 years and graduated from Airborne and Ranger School in 1987 before leaving the Army with the rank of captain in 1994. Well, 2016 marks the 25-year anniversary of West Point Thoroughbreds, which, of course, was founded by Terry Finley in 1991. To date, he and his partners have campaigned, how about this, more than 700 winners. Quite remarkable. And Terry is with us now for an extended visit here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Terry, appreciate the time.
Awesome to be with you guys, as usual.
You think about those 700 victories, a lot of water under the bridge since 1991, but quite remarkable to see where it's ended up.
Well, it has been, and it really causes you and it gives you pause to think back over the 25 years. And it was funny because we went about 50 days, you know, stuck at 699, and then we've had three winners in the last 6 days. So that's the beauty of our business. You kind of get down, you start to second guess yourself, you start to question all the things that you have, and then bam, 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 you win a couple races, and you, all of a sudden you got some pep in your step.
What motivates somebody to start a racing partnership?
You know, somebody asked me that the other day. I think one of the big things is I spent a little bit of time in the corporate world, and all my buddies that were getting out of the Army or had gotten out of the Army, you know, they had gone to the corporate world in droves. And I, you know, there was something about that world that I just wasn't quite comfortable enough, you know, to think that that would be something that I would enjoy doing for, you know, several decades, right? When you're 26 or 27, you know you're going to work for, what, you know, 35, 40 years or thereabouts. So I've always, at that time, and I still do, I love the horse racing business, and you know, my father was involved in a partnership when I was a young kid, and I saw how much he enjoyed that. So it's just kind of a continuation of that. And, you know, it's a lot easier to try something when you're 25 as opposed to 45. And that was always in the back of my mind, is I didn't want to be in a position where I regretted, you know, not giving, you know, this great business a chance, you know, to make it a career. So all those things, you know, kind of, you know, they came together, I guess, when in my late 20s. And, you know, that was, you know, the response to your question in terms of, you know, what possessed somebody to get started.
When you made that announcement to the world that you were going to be in the horse business, how many detractors did you have?
That's a great question, right? Because, you know, your detractors don't really expose themselves in this business, right? Because everybody pats you on the back, and everybody's your friend. I say, and it is true, anywhere you go, you know, you want to get a lot of friends, you buy horses. And you want to lose a lot of friends, you know, stop buying horses. So, I mean, but you know what? I would think that's anywhere. If you get into the NFL and you're a coach and you're working as an assistant, you know, film guy, you know, breaking down film, like, nobody pays you any respect. But that's all part of the, you know, the system. Like, that's life. That's the cycle of life that is so enjoyable. So, I mean, I'm sure there were some people that this guy got out of the Army. He had short hair, and, you know, he tried to, you know, be nice to everybody. And it was weird. That was the early 90s. So the industry was in a position where they, you know, there was a crash in the late 80s as a result of the tax law changes. So it was just the early 90s, you know, I think the industry was trying to find a better footing. So, yeah, you know, it's all about winning, right? And, you know, I know when we started to win a couple races, we seemed to get more friends and, you know, people acknowledging us. But, you know, it's all part of it.
What did your friends and family think of you? Did they think you were, you know, throwing your life away?
You know, I think one of the issues with our industry, and that continues today, is, like, I'm very proud of our Indians, and I know we all are. Everybody that sits here, you know, for this interview and people that are involved, like, I don't really know anybody who's not proud of the industry, except the people who are leaving. And there are people that leave our industry. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I think people looked at, you know, somebody who went to college and worked hard to, you know, have a successful, you know, career in the military. Like, the expectation is you're going to come out and go in the corporate world. So I think there probably was some, you know, trepidation, especially on my mother's side. But I read that about a lot of people in the industry. You know, they'll go to school. Like, I know Tom Albertrani, his assistant is a CPA with a big firm. He was with a big firm, and he just didn't love accounting, but he loved the races, and now he's doing great things for Tom Albertrani. And so I really like the fact that every morning I go back to the barn, I see Dan, and he's like got a big smile on his face, you know, where before I'm sure he didn't smile when he walked into that big accounting firm and sat down and started to do auditing work. So we're all right with that.
What do you remember about that moment when you officially made that decision that, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start West Point Thoroughbreds.
Well, I've told this, you know, there was a woman in the office with the company that I had started with, and she had just gotten divorced from a sergeant in the Army. And so I think she saw me as, you know, the manifestation of her ex. And so we didn't get along. So she was really the impetus, and she closed the deal for me, saying, like, this is not what I need to be in the corporate world and to have people kind of not get along and affect your ability to advance. So I give her a lot of credit. So that was probably when I walked out, and my wife Debbie, we had two kids, and we just said, let's give it a go. Let's see if it works, and we're gonna focus on, you know, trying to get people you know, to join us. And you know, so the interesting thing is I see partnerships now that are starting, and I see young people that are doing the same thing that we did, you know, to try to all get in the business, and it's good. Good. I like to identify those people and the young people in our business that are sincere about it, that are honest and straightforward. You know, we got to help those people because in 25 years, we're really going to be old, and they're going to be the sector of our business that are the leaders. So, I mean, that I think that's important for all of us.
You didn't leave the Army until 1994. But you started West Point in 1991. How were you able to do that for that three-year time period and do both?
Well, it was just really on the side, right? Very, very minimal. You know, the Army was my, you know, career. And so I was a company commander, which was really great. It was, you know, the best job that I'd had in the military. But the drill sergeants really took care of a lot of stuff. So, you know, but I was very, you know, respectful of, you know, doing the job and putting the time in. So it was really in its infancy, you know, those couple years. And we kick-started, like, in 96. So, you know, that's how we kind of juggled, and I juggled those two.
And talk about the colors and how they came to be some of the most recognizable silks in the history of racing.
You know, I think because we talk about that, you know, quite a bit, Jude, and I see people that, you know, come into the business and they design their silks, and they're not gaudy, but they're too complex. And so that's one of the things I remember thinking, we got to make sure we, you know, simple is easy and straightforward. And, you know, I never would have thought that, you know, they would have been as recognizable as they are, but that was kind of the background of, and that's what I would suggest to anybody getting into the business and investing. You know, make sure your silks are straightforward and just, you know, you pick a part of your life or, you know, something that means, you know, has a meaning, and you transfer them onto your silks. But simple and straightforward, I think, are better with silks.
Talking with Terry Finley of West Point Thoroughbreds, 25 years of West Point Thoroughbreds here in 2016. Terry, you're obviously an extremely proud service member, and I know how proud you were to wear that United States uniform, and let me take a moment to say thank you for your service to this great country. Why was naming your business after your alma mater so important to you?
Well, it turns out now, I mean, I never really thought that it was going to be a career, and I thought it was going to be a career, but I never saw it developing. So it was just something that came up, you know, sitting down and, you know, what's a name for an entity and an endeavor. And that just kind of one thing, led to another. And I thought maybe I could get a couple of my buddies. You know, we had just come out of our five-year reunion in 1991. And next week we go back for our 30th. So in 91, I thought I could hustle some of my buddies to put some of their cash into getting a horse. So that's probably the background. But it was just a matter of just being proud of your service to America.
And it's strong and straightforward, too. I mean, I think that's the beauty of your whole operation. And it may not have all been in your head when you started it, but, I mean, people know West Point. They know the Silks. It's identifiable. It sounds strong. It sounds important, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, the business is pretty straightforward, right? It's, you load up a bunch of horses in a starting gate, and the first one gets to the wire wins. So, I like that, and I appreciate that. When you start a business, you don't have all those things. They don't all fall into place, but you're thinking that if it comes and if we get to a point. But, that I find the vast majority of people in our business are straightforward, and it is. It's a tough business. It's an expensive endeavor, and, straightforward works in this business, as we all know. Like, the people who are here summer after summer at Saratoga, whether they win or lose, they're the ones that are the most straightforward, and however they acquire horses and bring partners in or run it themselves, the ones that are clear focused and can look you in the eye and are straightforward are the ones that you want to deal with. So that's kind of how I modeled the company after. It's a successful model in a lot of other industries.
Speaking of straightforward, one gentleman who comes to mind is Cott Campbell of Dogwood Stable, and a lot of people consider him the pioneer of racing partnerships in the sport of thoroughbred racing. He received a red jacket at Saratoga earlier this meet and is part of the Walk of Fame now. Do you view Cott as being somebody who paved the way for people like you, Terry, and other people that do partnerships to have the success that you've been able to have?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, our business overall hasn't thrived in the last 10 years. But think about what our business would be without partnerships in the last 10 years. I mean, I'd like to think that we've stabilized to some extent. And I know, the polarity at the sales, and, you can look at a bunch of different things. But it goes without saying, it all comes back to Cott Campbell. And, thank God he had the courage, but he had the outlook and the disposition to walk around here and have people look down upon him like they did, from what people tell me, in the 70s, when everybody was looking at this guy. He was an ad executive from Atlanta, and who does he think he is putting together people? That's not the way we do it. Like, we've never done it. That's not the way we do it here, people. And for him to do that, there are a lot of people in our business that owe their careers and the ability to be involved in our great business to Cott Campbell. So I was at the – I know it was a hot day, but he gave a great speech, and I had a shot to shake his hand. And it was a very cool thing to see in front of all these people. And I know when Cott looked out, he was in front of the grandstands, and I know – I saw him, he just kind of took a deep breath, and he looked out over all those seats and at the boxes, and I'm sure it was a very proud moment for him, and we owe him a lot.
Well, in the old days, there were great family farms and operations. The Phipps obviously come to mind. But now these partnerships have become the families in racing, and people gravitate to their partnership, and they're proud to wear the emblem and the logos and be with friends, people that they become acquainted with through their partnerships. So they've actually become the large family stables now. And without the partnerships, we'd be running four races a day probably, because there's just not enough big time people interested in racing to, have a stable of 40 or 50 babies coming every year.
Yeah, it just wouldn't happen. Just wouldn't happen. And so, you know, in 10 years, the magnitude of partnerships are probably going to be even higher. So, look, our job is to we know what's happened in the past. So our job as, you know, the leaders and the people who are in the business and have the ability and to have a voice, our job is to, you know, work to figure out, you know, what do we need to do to increase the participation in the partnerships and to make partnerships better, to give partnerships a bigger voice in the business, and to, you know, to make things easier for the people who are putting the partnerships together and the people who get into the partnerships. And there's some ways that we can do it. It's an intimidating world if you're on the outside looking in, and our job every day is to try to decrease that intimidation level, and we're getting there. We really are.
How do you do that?
A whole number of ways. You know, communication is really the first way, and, you know, just to give people the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, it's tough. Like, most of the news that we communicate to people is, you know, it's a push at best. You know, meaning like, yeah, he worked okay, and or he's got an issue and we need some time off and all those other things and this cost and this investment. So, you know, communication, and we're doing it. I see partnerships, you know, with apps and with great websites and better websites and very clear, you know, representations of what they're offering. So that's one. You know, the other thing is, you know, the government has eased the investment rules because, you know, for a long time, you know, we've spent a lot of money in the registration process that really nobody sees because we're paying to the states and to the SEC. So the Jobs Act, which was passed a couple years ago, really has helped. And I know we've seen some investment vehicles on the internet that people just in the last couple months have started. So it's, you know, keeping things fresh and innovative, and people today expect, you know, real-time information. So that's at the core. As long as people know that they're being kept informed and they're getting a fair shake, and most people are good with that. So that's at the core of what we need to do.
That's Terry Finley, West Point Thoroughbreds, part one of that interview. Part two coming up after our next commercial break. Stay with us here on the Equine Forum.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
But Frosted has won with ease in the Whitney.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destined right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
Time and Motion's got her. Time and Motion has upset Catch a Glimpse in the Lake Placid.
Gainesway Stallion Tappet, the two-time champion sire, is once again the leading general sire in 2016. Tappet has produced 17 Grade 1 winners, 50 graded stakes winners, 13 millionaires, and more than $100 million in lifetime progeny earnings, and was the leading commercial sire at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga Selected Yearling Sale by both average and median. Find your Tappet yearling at the upcoming Keeneland September Sale. When you purchase a Tappet yearling, your chance of getting a graded stakes winner is the highest. Tappet, standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
As the field turns for home in the Jim Dandy, Tis Now, Tis Then has wrested the lead from Taylor Bacotti. Macho again right there at the eighth pole. Pyro's on the outside. There's one furlong to go. Here's Macho again, who is now the leader. Pyro runs at him. Macho again and Pyro down to the line. Macho again and Pyro. Macho again has won the Jim Dandy, beating Pyro by a neck.
Mike Pennett, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Gorgeous morning in Saratoga, getting ready for a program that features four graded stakes races, two grade ones, the Spinaway and the Woodward. All that coverage coming up this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern. That coverage streaming exclusively on our website, horseracingradio.net, and is all presented by visitbarbados.org. And we are less than 25 minutes away from that drawing for a trip for two to Barbados. For those of you who registered throughout the meet, we're going to draw that live in just about 25 minutes or so. So looking forward to that moment, and Jude, looking forward to the second half of the interview with Terry Finley. Some great stuff in the first half of the interview.
Yeah, you know, Terry's such an articulate guy, and he loves the game, and it's just amazing that his stable's been around for 25 years, and it's great to hear those insights and how he looks at the game and what's made his outfit so successful.
And nice to hear that call from Tom Durkin. The Jim Dandy, Macho again winning, and he is one of several horses to wear the black and gold West Point colors to win a graded stakes, and certainly here at Saratoga, that is a place that Terry loves to win. And here's what he had to say in the second half of that interview. Terry Finley grew up as one of seven. Tell me about the first horse you campaigned in the West Point colors.
His name was Sunbelt, and we took him for a nickel. He won back off the claim for 62.5, and you know he'll always be my boy, right? And we lost him after a couple races, so I think everybody remembers their first one, right? I mean, that's everybody remembers their first horse. If you run across an owner, it doesn't matter if they're in for 5 months or for 50 years. There's a 99.9% chance that they can tell you at the drop of a dime the story of their first horse. And, like, how good is that? You know, how good is that to have, you know, people just know, and they know every detail of their first time?
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, we've had a bunch of trainers on Trainer Talk, and almost everyone can – I think we've only had one person that couldn't remember, but they were – rather old and had a long career in our sport. So,
well, but, might have been at Ciro's the night before too.
That's
That can definitely affect your memory the next day. There's no doubt about it.
I think the guy said, I'm not really sure, but I think it might have been this.
That was
horse.
A long time ago.
Speaking of memories, after more than 2.5 decades of running West Point Thoroughbreds, I'm sure there's plenty of memories that come to mind, Terry, when you think back on those 25 years. But what are some of those moments that, for whatever reason, you're just never going to forget?
Probably up here, you know, the Woodward in 2009, which is tomorrow, right? It'll be 7 years tomorrow. So Macho, again, was a very good second to Rich Alexander. And I'll remember, you know, just almost being sick when I thought we were going to get up. But then probably one of the things, I saw Steve Asmussen crying that day after the race, and then I saw him crying at the Hall of Fame. So that was pretty, man, that kind of gets you. So that was a pretty cool day.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool day, and one that Terry and so many of us will never forget.
Yeah, it was a great race. When you're buying horses, Saratoga seems like such a focus for you. Do you often think about stakes at Saratoga and maybe this one would fit here or there? Is that kind of a focus for you?
Well, you probably come into the meet with a little bit of a different focus, and what I mean by that is, you know, at the end of the meet, if you're winning at 10% and your babies haven't run well, you're like, you know, that's our strategy. We like to get a race or two into them and then get into the fall. But if you have a couple 2-year-olds that run off the screen, you're like, you know, we focus on Saratoga. We're, you know, so you got to develop your strategy afterwards. But, you know, over the years, we have not really cranked up our 2-year-olds until after to the fall. And that's kind of been our company line. But it certainly is nice to run well enough so that you can see how talented they are. But, you know, Commanding Curve, you know, he got beat, you know, 16 lengths in his first start. And at Ring Weekend, I think got beat 22 lengths in his first start. So, you know, you walk out of here now. You oftentimes got your tail between your legs because, you know, you got to have your running shoes on to be successful up here. But that's kind of what the take is. As long as you can stabilize and keep the group of, you know, partners that you have, especially in on the 2-year-olds, you know, I get them to keep the faith. Look, a lot of them can't run, and they're not as good as we think they are. And at a certain point, you just have to acknowledge that. But as long as we can take the group and say, we got a shot to have a good fall, overall, that's a good spot for us to be in.
Do you see that in general in the business? It seems like the 2-year-old racing has gotten later and later. We used to have at least one 2-year-old race at Keeneland every day. And yeah, Now if we have like 3 or 4 during the meet, it's considered a success. Why do you think that is? Is it climate change or?
Yeah, I think more and more people are thinking about, you know, what do you do when you buy a horse that isn't a sprint pedigree top and bottom? You're thinking about the classics, the Kentucky Derby, the Triple Crown. So I think that's probably more and more people are saying, like, I want Derby horses. Like, I can't run in the spring at Keeneland. So that's probably worked into the mix there. And, you know, Pat Byrne likes to say he, you know, favorite trick. I mean, he was probably the one of the last good horses. I'm sure there's been one or two, but usually you don't see really good horses run in the spring. You see very fast and precocious horses. But, you know, then next year we could have a year very well that a bunch of horses run in May and June that show up big time late in the year as 2-year-olds and then as 3-year-olds. So it just depends on the crop, really, and the people that, you know, get their hands on good horses throughout the, you know, yearling sales or the 2-year-old sales.
Visiting with Terry Finley of West Point Thoroughbreds on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Terry, one thing about this game is it's a people business, and you get to meet so many great people, especially doing what you do and putting together racing partnerships. One person that has been by your side from the very beginning is your wife, Debbie. She mm-hmm. was your high school sweetheart, and she's been here every step of the journey with you. What's that meant?
No, it's great. Obviously, you know, we celebrate our 30th anniversary in, you know, January. So, you know, I just think back, it's really great to have a spouse
and a partner in life who believes in you. So we talk, you know, you think back to your first question, Jude, like, you know, not a lot, whole lot of people believe in people when they start in this business, because you got to prove yourself. And, you know, nobody gives you anything in this business, no matter who you, you know, what your background is, you know, who your parents are, like, you got to earn it. And so it's great to have somebody there. And I think that encapsulates, you know, the support. And it's you know, really been a great ride. And, you know, we had a $38 winner yesterday, and I walked out of the house, and she said, you know, I got some things to do. I'm not coming over. So she called me right after the race, and I said, you're barred from coming over to the race. You've just been barred. I'm going to talk to the stewards. I'm going to get that in writing. So, but it's great. It's been wonderful. And you know what? Now we're empty nesters, and we're able to go, you know, go places. So if you're not an empty nester, and at some point you're going to be in the future, I highly recommend it, because it's, you know, we've grown a lot closer, and we're able to do a lot more, and really take advantage of, you know, working together and being, you know, so lucky that we're involved in our passion, which is our career.
Yeah, I'm just checking my phone, by the way. I didn't have a text message, a missed call from Terry Finley about that $38 winner yesterday either. Just saying, brother. Just saying.
I will tell you, it was tough. You know, we don't usually run horses, you know, long in their second start. I've really worked on that. You know, kind of you develop your strategies, and, you know, we've just almost never had luck in the past. And what do you do? You know, we run this horse, you know, second time, and he runs big. So it just goes to show you. I talked about that. You know, Dallas Stewart and I have been together 20 years, and we're constantly testing each other, right? And I think that's the beautiful thing about, you know, establishing really long and solid and you know, deep, you know, friendships and relationships in this business. You trust each other. Even though you might not agree all the time, you shouldn't agree all the time in this business, right? But it's how you handle the disagreements that work, that, you know, that make things either work or make things a root canal every time you have something go wrong. And so, you know, that's kind of how I've led the business.
Is there anything that you might do differently if you could have a do-over?
Man, you're not supposed to ask a question. You're supposed to tell a guest. Like, that's a pretty deep question now. And I'm speechless to a certain extent. But I got to tell you, I could look anybody in the eye and say no. I mean, you know, we've, you know, I think one of the good things, we've paid everybody. And, you know, early, maybe not totally on, maybe not within 30 days, but we pay everybody. I'd like to think we don't make enemies. And, you know, we're, I know it's a competitive business, but I like to think that we've, you know, as a team, we've carried ourselves the right way. We've acted, you know, win, lose, or draw, we've acted in a professional way. And, you know, that's important. You know, at the end of the day, that, you know, horses, they're going to run well, they're not going to run well. But it's about horses, but it's also about people. You talked about it. And you got to do the right things and act the right way. And I think, you know, by and large, we've done that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you're most proud of. I was going to turn it around the other way for you and ask you what you're most proud of in these 25 years, but it sounds like you may have just answered that question.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, I'm most proud of, you know, I think a microcosm, you know, Dallas Stewart is, you know, one of the things. You know, a little inside baseball. We had a very heart-to-heart, you know, discussion at dinner the night before, and we, you know, I love to learn. I love to – organizational dynamics is really fascinating to me. And, you know, I know we could talk for a long time about the, you know, the relationship between owners and trainers. I just find that fascinating. And we've, you know, we've got to a point where we asked very direct, you know, questions. And, you know, probably the night before on Wednesday, we had one of our most direct conversations we've ever had. And, you know, after we got the job done, we just looked at each other. We just started laughing. Like, that's the most unbelievable thing, and that's what will happen. You know, a win in this game will cure a lot of things, and but you just got to keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back, and you'll be successful in this business.
So what things are still out there to accomplish on that West Point Thoroughbreds Terry Finley bucket list?
We you know, we're going to win a Triple Crown race. You know, we've been second in the Preakness. We're second in the Derby, second in Preakness. I put the Derby ahead of the Preakness, but we've run probably 10 or 11 in the Classics, and you know, Breeders' Cup. We were a small part of on Liam's map. We were privileged enough to be part of his ownership group. You know, the Violas. They did us a big favor and they allowed us to buy into him. So we won a Breeders' Cup, but we haven't really won a Breeders' Cup, but we still got the trophy. So you know, those are the two things when I list the priorities and do the right thing by horses. You know, take care of them, and you know, they're not all, and the vast majority of them are not what we expect them to be for any number of reasons. But you know, when you look at them, You got to be able to look at them and them know, and you know that you're doing the right thing by them. And we're so much better as an industry, and that's probably another show, but I'm very proud of the industry and the strides that we've made, you know, taking care of horses during their careers and especially after.
Those runner-up finishes in the Triple Crown races, a lot of people would give their right arm to be in that position and have a horse finish second in the Derby or in the Preakness. How about for you? Was it frustration? Rewarding maybe a little bit? What's it like?
It was elation, and you bring up a great point, Mike. If you look at the video, we had a videographer at the Kentucky Derby, and you'll see when they hit the wire, like, I'm so ecstatic. And Dallas, you know, visibly, he drops his shoulders like he had just like he had just lost a big bet, you know, but he had finished second the year before, so the expectation probably was there, but you know, he was elated overall, but it just in that 5-second clip, you'll see, you know, one guy drop his shoulder and the other guy wants to jump over the, you know, the rail. He was so pumped. And that's what's so fascinating about our business, because it's about horses and it's about people. And, you know, people are different. That's what makes our world so fascinating. So that's the response there.
25 years of West Point Thoroughbreds. Terry, here's to another 25 years, my friend. Thank you so much for all your support of what we do. Thank you for taking the time for this visit, and all the best moving forward. Here's to another 700.
All the pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, covering a lot of ground there with Terry Finley. We hope you enjoyed that interview here this morning on the Equine Forum. And Jude, you heard him talk about what it was like to finish second in those races, like the Derby, like the Preakness. And for him, it was elation. For Dallas Stewart, the trainer, maybe a little bit of frustration because you're so, so close to getting to the top of the mountain. But, boy, what a performance by both of those horses, and what a moment for both trainer and owner.
Yeah, it's amazing to be in the Derby and have a contender and then have him run well. I think everybody in racing would like that. You know, it's not it's not unprecedented, but Terry just, you know, he takes it in stride, and I think he has the confidence that someday, you know, he's going to hoist that trophy, and that's what you have to have if you're going to be in business for 25 years and beyond.
All right, well, a lot of things still to come here on the Equine Forum this morning, including that drawing for the trip for two to Barbados. People have registered throughout the meet. We're going to give that away in just a few minutes here, right after our next commercial break. Hour two features our interview with Mike Lakow, the new jockey agent for Javier Castellano. Mike's going to join us in person in just about 5 or 6 minutes from right now. And Eddie Keneally, who sends out Braidster in today's Woodward and Bitumen in the Hopeful on closing day Monday here at Saratoga. Eddie's going to join us at 9:30 Eastern Time, and you'll hear from jockey Joel Rosario talking about Frosted, who is the 1-2 morning line favorite in this afternoon's Woodward. You know, Ashford Stallions, Shanghai Bobby, and Stay Thirsty, well, they've really been on a roll. Ashford Stallion Shanghai Bobby is the first horse in history to win the Hopeful, Champagne, and Breeders' Cup Juvenile. His first yearlings have already sold for up to $380,000, and he will be well represented at the upcoming Keeneland September sale. And then there's Travers winner, Stay Thirsty, who also stands at Ashford. He continues to lead the first crop sire list by number of winners with 11. Make sure you check out the Ashford Stallions standing at Ashford and for sales, Kentucky. We're back to give away that trip to Barbados right after this here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for Saturdays at Saratoga and the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 33 Grade 1 winners, including 7 Breeders' Cup winners, 5 Horses of the Year, and a Kentucky Derby winner. Millridge raised foals of 2014 include Oscar Performance and Grade 3 Sanford winner Bitumen. Millridge is offering an outstanding group of yearlings at this year's Keeneland September sale, with 24 yearlings in books 1 and 2, over 90% of those raised or foaled on the farm. Millridge welcomes you to inspect these exciting racing prospects in which you can dream of participating on the biggest stage.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Bred for greatness and a brilliant Grade 1 winner on the track, Airdrie Studs Creative Cause is giving every indication that his may be a very special future at stud. Already represented by the undefeated and dominant Landalucy Stakes winner, the one we waited for, Creative Cause currently sits second on the First Crop Sire list, and with impressive maiden special weight winners throughout the nation, appears poised to lead this banner stallion crop in 2016 and beyond. Airdrie Studs Creative Cause. Think about it.
Maryland breads are your formula for success. In 1989, Maryland bred safely kept won Saratoga's Grade 1 test stakes with a final running time of 121 and 2/5 seconds. The test was one of 8 wins in 9 starts at 3 for safely kept, who would be voted that year's Eclipse Award winning sprinter. Maryland breds run with the best. Look for them in the winner's circle at racetracks all over the world and watch for them at the sales. Better stallions, better mares, Maryland breds.
Make sure your horses shine at the sales with the highest quality hay and straw from Washington Hay Company. At Washington Hay Company, you'll find beautiful bright straw, top quality Timothy hay, and their soft leafy alfalfa, all from Washington State. And their unparalleled personal service ensures they'll be by your side every step of the way at your most important time of the year. So let Washington Hay worry about the hay, straw, and shavings while you present your horse. Contact Brad Green today and be sure to visit Washington Hay Company on Facebook.
A multiple Grade 1 winning millionaire sprinter.
It's going to be very close at the finish, and here's the wire. It's Palace, the winner.
The best son of leading sire City Zip.
And it will be Palace, the winner by 3/4 of a length. And Palace dazzles here and wins by 3.5 lengths.
Palace, new for 2016 at Spendthrift Farm. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pennant, Jude Fell, trackside. Gorgeous morning here in Saratoga Springs, New York, and no doubt it will be gorgeous in Barbados when our prize winner gets to take the trip to Barbados. A trip for two, 5 nights
in the paradise of Barbados. And we are about ready to make that drawing right now, that announcement coming your way live here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And we thought, you know what, we're going to film this. We're going to put it out there on our HRN Twitter feed. And we thought it would be kind of cool to have our beauty pageant queen, Acacia Courtney, former Miss Connecticut, who's going to be part of our coverage later this afternoon on the network beginning 5 o'clock Eastern. She's going to handle the honors for us along with my beautiful wife, Michelle. So, ladies, take it away. All right, here we go. The entry is being dropped into the bag. Shake it up. Wow, we had a lot of entries. This is pretty cool. All right, and here we go. Little A, Acacia Courtney, reaching into the bag now. The moment, if you registered, the winner is... How can I read that? Wait, hold on. Sebastian, I want to believe it's Bar, B-A-R-G-H is what it looks like to me. Is that what it looks like
to you?
Yeah. Sebastian Barr, the winner of a trip for two to Barbados. So congratulations, Sebastian. We'll get a hold of you, and you can claim your prize here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all courtesy of our friends at visitbarbados.org.
It's going to be great. You're going to love it.
All right. Sebastian, you're on your way to Barbados, you and a special guest. So congratulations, and looking forward to delivering that good news to Sebastian later this afternoon. All right. Busy second half of the program. It kicks off with Mike Lakow, the new jockey agent for Javier Castellano. He joins us in just a couple of moments. Eddie Keneally's going to be here with us. And, of course, Joel Rosario, who I caught up with yesterday. You'll hear him talk about the likely favorite in today's Woodward, that is Frosted. We're back with Hour 2 right after this. We'll pause 10 seconds for station identification on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome Dortmund head for the wire in an absolute thriller. California Chrome's class has pulled him through.
Joel Rosario's not even asking to go at all. He's in front by 2.5 lengths. And then comes FNX on the outside. A late bid from Comfort down toward the rail. It's upstart. But Frosted has won with...
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Amis Gizmo in front, but here comes Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Barou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Mike Smith just shakes the reins at Songbird. Going for Broke has made progress up into second inside a Family Tree, but they're 6 lengths behind Songbird at the 16th pole. It is Songbird, this magnificent filly, winning the Alabama. She is a perfect 10.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Barron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Feld, edging closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships in November, 62 days away, and we'll bring you coverage of the Winning You're In Spinaway for the two-year-old fillies and the Grade 1 Woodward later this afternoon beginning 5 o'clock Eastern Time. You can catch that coverage streaming exclusively at horseracingradio.net. We asked you a poll question at the beginning of the program, and we wanted to know, who is your Saratoga performer of the meet, at least to this point anyways? And Jude, we've had 4 choices that we've sent out there for people, and Arrowgate, the Travers winner, one of those, Frosted being another one, Songbird, who was brilliant on a couple of different occasions, and Flincher, the fourth choice. And if you have somebody else, you can weigh in on that front too.
Yeah, well, those are all excellent choices, and we'll see who people like. We appreciate people enjoying the poll and answering. It's been a lot of fun.
And if you missed any portion of the first half of the program, as always, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast of this program and all of our shows, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. All right, hour number two kicks off with Mike Lakow, a longtime racing secretary here with the New York Racing Association. He served in that capacity from 1993 to 2005, has held a couple of other positions since leaving NYRA, and now announced last week he will be the new jockey agent for 3-time Eclipse Award winner Javier Castellano. And he's nice enough to join us here on the Equine Forum this morning. Mike, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's great to be back in Saratoga.
You know, I was thinking about it when you and I were talking yesterday. The first time I had a chance to visit with you, we were just getting started here on HRN. It was our first time coming to Saratoga to broadcast a race. Walked into your office, and I got to tell you, I was a little bit intimidated. You were the racing secretary at NYRA, and you took the time, and you sat down with me for a good 15, 20 minutes. We did an interview, and you've always been very, very accommodating, so thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. I tried to do that with all the fans, all the phone calls. Even gamblers would call me and say, why do you put this race in this spot, and why do you do this? And I always listened, and I explained why, but I changed my mind quite often, just listening to the people that love the sport.
All right, talk about your new role now. Excited? Do you ever think you'd be in this position?
You know what? When I got to New York in 1991, I started as a stakes coordinator, and Johnny Velasquez was just coming in, and him and his wife, Leona, beautiful people, took me and my wife out to dinner. He asked me to take his book. At the time, my children were very young, and I hesitated, and I wanted to be racing administrative. And it may have been a mistake, but I enjoyed what I was doing. And when I left NYRA in 2005, Mike Smith asked me to take his book. And that was a tough decision. And again, I wanted to be in racing, but I went from NYRA to Hillandale Farms in Lexington, Kentucky. And I was a general manager there, and I learned that end of the industry. And I worked for a terrific person, John Secura of Hillandale Farms. And I missed racing, so I had to come back. And from there, I went was a steward in Dubai, which is totally different racing. There weren't conditions to races. It was all ratings, and it quite interesting. And the stewards there were amazing. They were Australian, and they spent many, many years learning the trade, and they were exceptional. In 16 horse fields, they would know every horse, every jockey, where they were supposed to be, and it was quite an experience for me. But I'm glad to be back in the States and back at Saratoga.
I'm just excited that you got over your aversion to money.
I'll tell you what, though. Saratoga really was good for me when I was younger. My kids were young. We got a house every summer here. My daughter went to Skidmore to take tennis lessons, and eventually she got a full tennis scholarship to a college, and it was what a benefit for that. And Saratoga is great. I personally like Belmont the best. Belmont Fall is unbelievable racing, and the two-year-olds all are running. The three-year-olds want to run before they have to run against older horses. And New York racing is spectacular. It's incredible.
This will be your first time serving in this capacity as a jockey agent, and you inherit a jockey in Javier that has won 4,506 races to date. He's earned nearly $260 million in purses. I mentioned the three Eclipse Awards. What's your approach in your first order of business as you get started here as his agent?
Well, his last agent did a terrific job. He won three Eclipse Awards in a row, and that's amazing. So it's very large shoes for me to fill. What I want to do is have the horseman trust me. I've always felt integrity was the most important part of the industry. And, as far as jock's agent, I have to learn to not be black and white, maybe be a little gray when I'm giving out calls. But luckily for me, Javier basically rides first call for Chad and Todd second call, and we'll fill in the pieces. But Javier is such an incredible person, world-class rider, but his family is terrific. I went out to dinner with him and his wife, Abby, and their three kids, and it's just I feel really comfortable and really good with him, and that's more important than anything.
There's two kinds of jockey agents, I think. The ones that ride the best horse all the time, and the ones that have relationships with trainers and sometimes don't ride the best horse but have that relationship. Which category do you think you fall into?
I think, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I think I meet both those criteria. For all my years at NYRA, the horsemen here were my family. I was here 7 days a week from 7 in the morning to after the last. I was in the barn area all the time, and I cared about all the people, all the trainers and the jockeys. I was a fan always, and I think the horsemen here recognize that, and I think even though, the business is cutthroat, so to speak, I think everybody's rooting for me in some type of way. except the other agents, of course.
And that's a rough group.
It is, and I'll learn to deal with it. You know, in racing, and I don't know about other industries, it's basically as a racing secretary, you have to be a bit of a psychologist, speak to different people different ways, know what they're going to say and how they're going to react, let people vent. And I was very good at that. That's maybe the only thing I was good at. So that hopefully will carry over to Javier.
We've seen other jockey agents having a lot of success that have been in that position you were in as a racing secretary. That Doug Bradar comes to mind with Florent Giroux, really doing a phenomenal job with him after taking his book. That experience as being a racing secretary, getting to know the horseman, even though you haven't been there in a while, it was 2005 when you left. How much does that help you, and does it give you an advantage?
I think it gives me an advantage. It's second nature, though, and I don't think it's not that difficult. But for me, I was doing it so many years that maybe everybody, some people say, yeah, it is difficult. For me, it's going to be knowing the horses. I've been in California. I was president of the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation for a year. I've done other things, so I don't know the horses that well. But I'll pick it up rapidly, I believe. And again, with Chad and Todd on my side, it's tough to go wrong. There will be decisions. I want to get Javier's input as well. But, again, Javier is such an extraordinary person, and I think we're going to work well together.
I'm glad you brought that up. How closely does a jockey agent work with the jock? You would think it would be a close relationship, but in terms of that consultation process and bouncing ideas off of each other, are you the one making the calls, or is it more of a back-and-forth, cohesive type of decision between the two of you?
Mike, I haven't even started yet. My first day is Belmont next Friday. When I got the call to accept his being his agent, it was Friday. Javier said, "Can you be here tomorrow?" Well, meanwhile, there were 6 Grade 1 stakes closing at Santa Anita where I was working, and I was working on those. I was here the week before trying to get nominations, and I said, "I can't. I just have to get the nominations." I had to go back Monday and do some more work, so I flew out Tuesday morning. So I've been here 3 days, basically. Yeah. So I can't answer those questions. I want to work closely with Javier so he doesn't blame me for all the mistakes. But we'll see what happens.
Are you going to use any particular tools to learn the horses? Are you a sheets guy? What's your plan to figure that out?
Well, I was panicky. I made many copies of charts to read on the plane while I was coming in. I got here, and actually you brought Doug Bradar. He said there's a computer system that you have to get, and I just got it. And I've been up every night till 12, 1 o'clock trying to learn it, and it's spectacular, especially for me. I'm an older guy. I'm not this 25-year-old that can absorb everything. But I think it will be good. I think it will be terrific.
You don't have to sell many people on Javier Castellano. He sells himself. His track record sells itself. But what makes Javier such a good rider?
Well, I've been watching him recently, and he looks very secure, very relaxed. He doesn't jump into situations. I think he's a very smart rider. And, I see him hug the rail quite often as well. He knows what's going on, and if you win that many races, if you're winning all those many great stakes, it's not just your riding ability, it's also your thinking ability, and he has everything.
Yeah, we see riders day in and day out that make a lot of mistakes, but in most cases he has his horse in a position to win at some point during the race, even if the horse doesn't win or isn't good enough, but he still gives him that chance, and I think that's all you can ask of a rider, really.
Yeah, and again, it was an easy decision for me because I've known his family, and he's such a good person. It's not that he's an excellent rider, but he's all over the place. He's steady. He's a family person, and he's an extraordinary human being.
Mike Lakow joining us here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, longtime racing secretary here with NYRA, now representing jockey Javier Castellano as his new agent. And, Mike, earlier you referenced the job that Matt Musicar had done with Javier over the past, I guess, 8 years or so. So when you come in, the big shoes to fill, is there maybe a little bit of extra pressure because of that success that they had in the past?
Javier's not putting pressure on me. I put pressure on myself, but I put pressure on myself with everything I do. Sometimes it backfires. But, you know, I respect Matt, and when I accepted the position, I told Javier, look, I'm green, I'm going to make mistakes, and Javier said, don't worry about it, just relax. And that's the type of person he is. And Matt is spectacular at what he does. You know, and people ask me what happened. I don't want to know what happened between the two of them. He did a great job. You know, the divorce happens, and you move forward.
And you're the flavor of the month.
It better not be the month. I mean, I left Santa Anita as a racing director, and I absolutely love California. There's not much dislike there. My wife loves her job there. And I said, we've been married 31 years. But this, you know, I was anxious, but it's nice to get back to Saratoga. It's just, it's an unbelievable spot. And as I told you before, I like Belmont as well. So I'm very comfortable here. I'm not comfortable with what I'm trying to learn very, very quickly. But I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I would say with your background, you're a slam dunk. You just got to go out there. And once the first overnight comes out, it'll be like you've done it your whole life, well, which you have.
I'm concerned about the first overnight. The first Saturday.
I can't figure out why you only have one mouth, Javier. You don't mind a 12-5 claimer, do you?
That's not happening.
Well, you're being sarcastic, but I'm right with you. That's how I feel right now. But everything, I think, should be fine.
It should work out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Class act, Mike Lakow with us here on HRN. Mike, congratulations on the new position. Appreciate the time, as always.
Thank you very much.
Keep in touch with us and let us know how things are going. We'll be watching.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. He is Mike Lakow. And, yeah, you think about the shoes that he has to fill, Jude, and that responsibility of coming in and representing a guy like Javier Castellano. It's not easy, but, you know, he can take solace in the fact that he's representing Javier Castellano.
Well, it's just like horses. You want to ride the best horse. You got one of the best jockeys. You know, you're expected to do well, but you're going to do well. And somebody with his background is, you know, invaluable. And he knows all the horsemen, and he'll learn the horses in you know, a few days. He'll know exactly what's what. So it might take, you know, it might take that first month to really get into the full swing of things. But, you know, Javier's going to win plenty of races in that first month. So.
The other interesting thing he brought up was that relationship that Javier has established with guys like Chad Brown and Todd Pletcher. And assuming that that relationship continues, and certainly from listening to Mike, it sounds like it's going to, you know, he's in great shape. Because if you're riding for guys like that, you're going to be on the best horses in a lot of different situations. And you're going to have your choice of a lot of really, really nice horses.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a jock like that, the first thing you do is you go to your trainer who's number one and say, okay, you know, where do you want me? And Mike's going to be in a position to know eventually where all Chad's horses are going to run. And he'll go in and discuss each horse with Chad, and they'll figure out what's what and which ones Chad wants Javier to ride and which ones he doesn't. And then, you know, you go to your next guy on the list, Todd Pletcher, and you say, so after you've done those two, there's not a lot of free space is available.
Right.
So, it kind of, you know, it's kind of a situation where you got to then fish around if you're missing a stakes or something and find out who the top horses are. But, you know, it's a process, and it'll take a little bit of time, but Mike is a class act, and he won't have any trouble.
Looking ahead to the two Grade 1 races here at Saratoga this afternoon, Javier will be aboard number 1, Sweet Loretta, in the Grade 1 Spinaway, and will be aboard number 1, Shaman Ghost, for Jimmy Jerkins in the Grade 1 Woodward. So breaking from post 1 in both of those Grade 1 events. And you remember Shaman Ghost, Jude, is the winner of the Queen's Plate up at Woodbine, a race we covered earlier this year. Of course, he won it a couple of years back.
Yeah, he's a nice horse and certainly has a bit of a chance today. And the two-year-old that Javier rides is a very talented filly. So she's, you know, one of the ones. She came back and worked fabulously after her big win last time out. So she's a filly that's going to be tough, that Sweet Loretta. in the Spinaway.
All right, still to come, our Right or Wrong segment presented by Sunrise Stallions. That's coming your way in just about 4 or 5 minutes. Then trainer Eddie Keneally set to join us at 9:30 Eastern Time. Joel Rosario, you're going to hear from him at the end of the program as we take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup, all presented by Gainsway. But time now for your Blood Horse News update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Racing convention set for Saratoga in 2017. What is being called the first international horse racing convention and trade show has been scheduled for August 2017 right here in Saratoga Springs, New York. Event organizers made that announcement yesterday in downtown Saratoga. EquestriCon is designed to bring together racing fans, horse players, and stakeholders throughout the sport in an atmosphere of nonstop entertainment and lively discussion, organizers said in a release. The event, scheduled for August 13th to the 15th, will be held at the Saratoga Springs City Center. Should be a lot of fun. And that is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, you can head over to BloodHorse.com and be sure to check out Blood Horse Daily, which briefs you on important breeding, racing, and sales news. Sign up to have a PDF emailed to you in a daily newsletter or download the app on your smartphone today, bloodhorse.com/daily. When we come back, we'll bring you that Right or Wrong segment with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, all presented by Sunrise Stallions, and we'll visit with trainer Eddie Keneally. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, the 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic producing sire with his first crop.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Parru. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
In addition to Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs, Gio Ponti is also represented by the exciting Bob Baffert trainee, Dreyfong.
But Dreyfong is well clear at the 16th pole. A talented colt. 2 for 2 this campaign. Dreyfong by 6 lengths.
And Castleton Lion stallion Justin Phillip retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings enter the sales ring this year. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
And they're off to New York. The premier state-bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips. FlairStrips.com.
Multiple Grade 1 winner First Samurai by Giants Causeway got off to a quick start at stud, siring Grade 1 winners in each of his first three crops. His talented son Lee captured the Grade 1 Don handicap in record time and retired to stud with over $2.3 million in earnings. Sovereign Award nominee Stack Beck captured the Grade 3 Bold Venture Stakes and Grade 2 Kennedy Road Stakes, both just a tick off track record times. First Samurai at Claiborne Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Here comes Cavorting from last. Between horses, Carolina. I'm a chatterbox forever unbridled. What a finish. It's Cavorting.
Cavorting punched her ticket to the Breeders' Cup distaff as she ran down a talented group of rivals to win the Grade 1 Personal Ensign last weekend at Saratoga. And that Grade 1 victory for the daughter of Darley stallion Bernardini makes Cavorting your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Darley Stallion Bernardini, a proven sire of both the Superstar Racehorse and the Sales Ring Smash. Bernardini has produced 13 Grade 1 winners to date and tops all sires with 5 Grade 1 winners at Saratoga since 2011. Cavorting, Alpha, To Honor and Serve, Stay Thirsty, and Rachel's Valentina, all Grade 1 winners at Saratoga and all sired by Bernardini. To learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Eagles winding up, but is going five wide by the quarter pole. And then it's El Kabir, an international star, top of the stretch in the Foster. And it's Braidster in front. Braidster digging down for the final 3/16. But here comes Eagle on the outside with a relentless rally from the back of the pack. And Majestic Harbor fights on, and Are You Kidding Me Too? FNX Not Tonight. Down to the final 16th. Braidster still there. Braidster's the leader by one. Majestic Harbor and Eagle keep on coming. But so is the wire. Here's the finish. Braidster, wire to wire, fending off Eagle, Majestic Harbor, and El Kabir.
Travis Stone with the call of that Grade 1 Stephen Foster this past June at Churchill Downs, and Braidster punching his ticket to the Breeders' Cup Classic by virtue of that victory. We'll see him in action against the talented Frosted and a field of nine going postward in this afternoon's Woodward. All that coverage beginning right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, 5 to 6 Eastern. You can tune in worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Make sure you take us with you wherever you go at horseracingradio.net, literally from the rail to your radio, JT.
Yeah, it's absolutely true, and we're only about, I don't know, 50 feet from the rail currently, and we're on the radio, so there you go, there you have it.
From the rail to your radio, we're going to hear from trainer Eddie Keneally, who settles Braidster later today. He'll join us in just a few minutes, but first, time for your Right or Wrong segment, brought to you by Sunrise Stallions.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
And to help me with these two topics, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, joining me from downstate New York. Big A, you ready to roll?
Ready to roll, Baron.
All right, let's do it. Here's number one. Despite Songbird's two Grade 1 wins this meet, Flincher's two graded wins, and Chad Brown's likely training title win, of course, a great riding colony here at Saratoga, led by the Ortiz brothers, Hall of Famer Mike Smith has been the brightest star of the Saratoga meet. Right or wrong?
That is absolutely right. 4 for 8, $1.8 million in earnings, all four grade ones. The Alabama, Coaching Club American Oaks, the King's Bishop, and, of course, the Travers. He was second in another grade one on Travers Day in the four-go with Tamarack, who's a third-place finish also on that card. Unbelievable meet. We made a big deal a few years back when Javier Castellano won 6 grade ones at the meet. Javier Castellano was there every day. Mike came in for 3 days, stole 4 grade ones. Easily for me, the star of the meet. That's right.
I don't know if I can agree with that or not, because I guess on the human side, yeah, I guess Mike Smith may be the star of the meet, although Jose Ortiz could make a case for that title too. But you look at what Arrowgate did in the Travers and lowering a track record that has stood for, what, 40-some-odd years. I mean, running it in under 2 minutes, that is not easy to do, and especially with a horse that had never raced in a stakes race before, to come in here from California, make the ship over for Bob Baffert, and win that race the way he did, and just run away from what many people would say was the best group of three-year-olds assembled this year outside of the Kentucky Derby. To me, it has to be Arrowgate. So as impressive as Mike Smith was every time he came here, on the equine side, I think it's all about Arrowgate.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, and number two, Big A, you, my friend, the Big A, have never had a tougher time making a decision than when you took Frosted over your boy Muptahij in the Woodward later today. Is that right or wrong?
That is right, Baron. As much as I loved Funny Side, in the 2004 Classic, I took Go Zapper because I knew Go Zapper was the better horse. And I know the same today. A couple other instances as well. picked against my boy Tonalist with Zivo, and Tonalist beat him in the Jockey Club Gold Cup back in 2014. But I just have this crazy attachment to Moop Tahij. But when you're running against the best older horse in training like he is today in Frosted, the decision's made for you. But with that said, I hope my boy Moopy runs a big race, albeit a second-place finish to Frosted today.
I got to tell you, I don't know if that's the most difficult decision I've ever seen you have to make. I've been with you at dinner on multiple occasions, and I see you scan through the menu, and there's nothing on the menu that you won't, well, maybe a strawberry or a tomato or something or anything green is going to be out of your wheelhouse. But I look at you, and I see you make these decisions, and I think that maybe a tougher decision for you is veal parm or chicken parm on a lot of different occasions.
Well, I can tell you what, the toughest decision was last week passing up on that second Brajol from Jude Feld.
All right, well, I'm going to take wrong on that one. I think that your food choices and those decisions you have to make probably a little tougher than taking Frosted over Moop Tahij in today's Woodward.
Yeah, right or wrong? Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, our thanks to Sunrise Stallions for making that segment possible throughout the Saratoga meet. Right or wrong, presented by Sunrise. Big A, appreciate the time, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, am I going to Barbados? Did I win?
No, it wasn't you.
All right,
I think you have to put
whatevs.
A ticket in.
Whatevs.
All right, brother, we'll talk to you soon. All right, we're back to visit with trainer Eddie Keneally right after this short word from Sunrise Stallions.
Sunrise Stallions, home of Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother, Heavy Breathing. With 18% stakes horses from starters, Frost Giant continues to produce exciting runners, including top two-year-olds, winning against open company and in stakes competitions.
Bobby on Fleek, very impressive six-length winner here.
Sonido moving clear to win easily.
Miss Freeze, a sharp stakes-winning debut.
Learn more about Frost Giant, Big Brown, and Heavy Breathing at SunriseStallions.com.
All right, Mike Pena, Jude Feld, back with you here on the Equine Forum, and we are trackside at Saratoga. Gorgeous day. Temperatures on their way to the low 70s. Fast main track, firm turf course for the running of today's 12-race program. Four stakes races on tap. All of those are graded, including the winning you're in Grade 1 Spinaway for the two-year-old fillies and that Grade 1 Woodward, which features 1-2 morning line favorite Frosted and the very talented Braidster, who you heard just a few moments ago, winning the Grade 1 Stephen Foster two starts back at Churchill Downs. And Eddie Keneally is the man who is guiding Braidster through this 2016 campaign. Eddie, welcome to the program, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Always, thanks for having me.
Yeah, always a delight to catch up. All right, yes. You got to slay the giant here today. You have to turn into Alan Jerkins and be the giant killer this afternoon.
I guess historically this is where it happens sometimes at Saratoga. It is horse racing, after all, and we've got a lot of respect for Kieran's two horses, but, you know, we're here, we're taking a shot, and our horse is doing well.
You know, we were at Churchill that night of the Stephen Foster, and he ran such a huge race that night. You look back on that performance for a minute.
Yeah, that was his second start of the year, and he had trained all along at Churchill through the spring and was doing really, really well, and we had thought about looking at the Stephen Foster, and we weren't sure we wanted to run in it, but as it turned out, we decided to take a shot because the horse was doing so well, and he ran lights out. He ran a huge race at a mile and an eighth, finally to win at the highest level, the Grade 1 level. He'd won some Grade 2s, Grade 3s, but to win at the highest level was phenomenal, especially on our home track, Churchill Downs.
Well, you know, I lived in New Jersey for a couple years, and I became a huge Braidster fan, and the horse is just so game. I mean, he shows up every time. What's the key to keeping him so sharp?
You know, he just got a lot of time off last winter after Breeders' Cup, and he came back this year better than ever, I believe. He's just freshening him up at age 6. He seems like he's better than ever. But, yeah, I mean, he's been consistent throughout his career, and especially consistent at Monmouth Park, where he's run 7 times in 7 stakes, and he's won 4 of them, and he's been second in the other 3. So certainly Monmouth Park... we'd like to think that at some point there'll be maybe a Breeders' Cup or something at Monmouth because that's his track. But he's good right now, and I think he can take his game anywhere. Obviously, this is the toughest task so far this year with Frosted in the race. He's certainly the leader of the handicap division on the East Coast. So this is the toughest spot we've put him in so far. But fingers crossed, get a good trip and see what happens.
Bracer is a horse with a lot of early speed. And you look at his past performances the last three races, he's gone wire to wire in wins in the Grade 2 Monmouth Cup, the Stephen Foster, and the Majestic Light Stakes the time before that. Frosted last time in the Whitney went out and set fractions of 46-2 for the half, 109-3 for six furlongs. How do you compete with a horse that's that quick when you bring in another speed horse like Braidster?
Yeah, that's going to be a rider's decision, I think. How do you compete with that? We certainly don't want to be head-and-head for the lead going in 109 because that's going up for Muktahid, I believe. I think it would be suicide to go head-and-head with Frosted in the early part of the race. We're just going to leave it up to my rider, Joe Bravo. He rides the horse with a lot of confidence. I'm just going to leave it up to him. I can't really tell him what to do. I think he's going to have to dictate what happens as the race unfolds. And depending on the break, we are in post four. We're outside of Frosted in the gate, and I think that might help us. But I'll just leave it to Joe and let him decide what to do as we go forward.
He's a horse that's always shown a lot of gameness, even when he's hooked by another horse. Those races with Valid at Monmouth were epic races. Those two had quite the rivalry going, and he got the best of Valid most of the time. But Valid's a really tough horse when he's on his game, and he looks him in the eye and just says, "You're not beating me today." It's a quality that you don't see in a lot of horses.
Well, he's a good horse. I mean, he shows up every time, which is great. And, I think we'll just see what happens today. But he loves the track here, too, even though he hadn't run here for several years. He's trained here now since in the middle of July. And he trained here last summer as well, even though he didn't run here. And he likes the track. So I'm actually looking forward to running him over this track. And it's possible that he could run another big race today because he is coming into it as good as I've ever seen him.
I want to go back to something you mentioned a moment ago, Eddie, talking about rider Joe Bravo. You made the switch a few starts back to go to Joe. He's a perfect 3-for-3 in those last three outings aboard Braidster. Why is he such a good fit for this horse?
I think mainly because he rides the horse with confidence, and I think that's key. You know, Joe's a smart rider. He's a big money rider, and he gave him an unbelievable ride in the Stephen Foster, and he just believes in the horse, and I think you need that.
Tell me about the owner, Joseph Sutton, that relationship you have with him.
We've had horses for Joe Sutton for about 10 or 12 years, and he's been a great client, and he likes to play at the high level, and he's committed to trying to acquire quality horses going forward as well, and we bought quite a few two-year-olds this spring at the two-year-old in training sales, and he plans on going to the yearling sales this fall and buying some more, and we've had a good relationship together. We've had plenty of success too, so it's working. So we're delighted to have him on the team, and been a big supporter for a long time.
People always talk about Dwayne Lucas being the first guy on the track in the morning, but your horses always come out first set. They always look fantastic. Talk about your operation and your crew a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's all about the crew, really. I mean, you got to set it up to where you can try to get the best people you can and hold on to them. And we're fortunate. We've got a great crew here. As we do, we've got some horses at Churchill Downs as well. We've got a great crew back at home as well. And, I think that's the bottom line. You need to find quality people, and we've been fortunate we've been able to do that.
Visiting with trainer Eddie Keneally here on HRRN. He sends out Braidster in this afternoon's Woodward and then comes back on Monday with a very talented two-year-old in Bichumen who won the Grade 3 Sanford earlier in the meet here at Saratoga. What can you tell me about Bichumen?
He's great. Let's
Eddie Neely joining us on the network. That's the kind of insight you get here on the network.
No doubt about
There's
it.
There's some confidence, huh? That's good confidence.
No doubt about it. He's in great shape right now, and he's done really well since Sanford. He's found a new home here at Saratoga, been here all summer, and has trained very well over the track, and he's had a good break now since he ran, and he's a fresh horse again, and his weight is great, and I'm happy with him. I mean, he's coming into the race full. The horse is full of confidence, so it makes us feel confident as well.
Yeah, there's nothing like that when the two-year-olds have a smile on their face all the time. Who's your biggest competitor in that field, do you think?
Yeah, there's a couple of three or four, actually, nice horses in there. Gary Contessa's horse, Midnight Loot Colt, is undefeated. He's 2-for-2. He looks like a very fast horse. You got to worry about him. Chad Brown has a horse that ran here on the beginning of the meet or 4 weeks ago and looks like he was very professional first time out, and he won a pretty quick maiden race. That horse is one to worry about. And, of course, Mark Cassie's Pioneer Denial Colt. He was very impressive winning the Bashford Manor at Churchill Downs. So in my mind, there it's a seven-horse field, but those are the three that we have to worry the most about, I believe. But it's not a big field, but I think there's some nice horses with lots of potential.
You have to feel pretty good moving forward, too. You look at his pedigree. He's by Mineshaft out of a Tail of the Cat mare, so as the distances get longer, shouldn't have many issues there either.
Well, yeah, we feel like longer is going to be better for this horse, and we think that at the end of the day, he's going to be a two-turn horse. And, you know, we'd like to think that our year-end goal would be the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at two turns. And I think this is a nice step forward. 7/8 today. He's been running at 6. 7 furlongs today. I think that on Monday, that should suit him just fine. And I definitely think that stamina will be there'll be plenty of stamina, I believe, when we do ask him to go long.
Do you have a plan mapped out after this race? I know trainers don't like to think too far ahead, one race at a time. But do you have would he run again before the Breeders' Cup, or you going to play it by ear?
We'll probably play it by ear, but I would think that we'll look at the Breeders' Futurity opening week at Keeneland. It's a mile and a 16th race. It'd be nice to get him into a mile and a 16th race before Breeders' Cup. If he's well, if he's doing good, if he comes out of this race fine, I think that is a possible race for him before the Breeders' Cup.
You might be a busy man Breeders' Cup weekend, because we talk about Braidster, who is already qualified with that win in your end victory to the Breeders' Cup Classic in the Stephen Foster. Whether you go to the Foster or whether you go to the Classic or you go to the Dirt Mile, you're going to be a busy man.
Well, hopefully. I mean, that's the goal. We want to be busy that week. I mean, I'd rather be there than watching it at home on the couch. But, we want to be there. I mean, that's anybody that's training horses, they want to participate in the big events on the big days. So hopefully those two will get us there, and we just have to keep them together between now and then.
After you won the Stephen Foster, did it change your approach with Braidster in terms of getting him to the Breeders' Cup, because you already had that win in your end under your belt?
Not really. I mean, we just ran him one time since the Stephen Foster, and we ran him in Mammoth Cup because it felt like the logical spot for him. Instead of the Whitney was a possible race for him, but we opted to go to Mammoth and run in the Mammoth Cup because he had won it the previous year, and we had already got the cushion of a grade 1-1 win in under his belt. So to go back to a grade 2 at Mammoth was a fine thing to do, and it worked out, and he won it. He won pretty impressively, actually, that day.
He should be a pretty good stallion down the road, too, with his speed and his gameness, don't you think?
I believe he will be. I think his credentials are now good enough to where he's going to get, when he does retire, he's going to get plenty of mares, and I think you know, it's a numbers game when these horses retire to stud as to how many mares they can get and how many foals they can get on the ground. But I think if he gets the numbers, he's such a good-looking horse as well as that, with a nice pedigree. He has a lot of the qualities you look for in a young stallion.
Do you see him as being more of a classic or dirt mile type of horse, Eddie?
Well, the classic, they're both loaded races this year, so we'll just have to play it by ear. I mean, California Chrome and the Travers winner are going to be in the Classic, as well as maybe Frosted, who knows. But they're both deep races this year, so we'll just play it by ear. The mile race is not going to be a walk in the park either. So we'll just see how our horse is doing and see who's going in the other two races, and then we can decide at that point.
How impressive was that Travers win by Arrowgate?
Yeah, you don't see that very often. A young horse that's never run in a stake before open up in the stretch after setting some fast fractions. You don't see that at all. So, and he beat some grade one winners, some accomplished horses, a couple of classic winners in there. Good field. The Travers this year was a great field of horses going in. You couldn't imagine any one horse winning it by 13 or 12 or whatever he won by, but yeah. he was visually
counting
impressive.
At that point,
yeah,
right?
Pick any number, as Trevor would say.
Yeah, it was impressive, yes.
Eddie Keneally with us here on HRRN. Eddie, want to wish you all the best here today, all the best moving forward down the road to the Breeders' Cup, and we're going to look forward to visiting with you as we get closer to that day in November.
Thanks. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, my friend. And like all of our guests who appears on the program, Eddie is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the official apparel of the Horse Racing Radio Network and the official apparel of the sport of thoroughbred racing. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Go get him. Eddie Keneally here on HRN. He's loaded right now, isn't he?
Yeah, and you can tell by the smile on his face. It was interesting. What our listeners didn't see is when you were doing the right or wrong segment, and Anthony said Frosted was the best older horse in training, and he got this little smirk on his face, and I loved it. Yeah. I go, maybe Eddie doesn't think so.
Well, I think he knows that if he beats Frosted today, and we're going to consider Frosted the best older horse or the best older horse on the East Coast, let's say, then – you know, he's sitting in a pretty good position if he can knock him off later this afternoon.
We have a new poll question. If Braidster beats Frosted today, is he the best horse in training?
I don't know. California Chrome's going to have something to say about that.
Yeah,
isn't
you
he?
Would think.
Yeah, yeah. I would think
and,
so.
And Irrigate, too, really. Who knows?
Yeah. So many memorable performances here in the meet, and no doubt so many more yet to come on this closing weekend here at Saratoga. We're going to take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway. You'll hear from jockey Joel Rosario talking about being aboard Frosted in those past couple of victories. Of course, he's been aboard him as a three-year-old and now into his four-year-old season. So you'll have that interview coming up momentarily here on HRRN. But first, we want to remind you that on Saturday, September 17th, you can watch and wager with the ADW of your choice on the Rico Woodbine Mile live from Woodbine Racetrack. This year's race marks the 35th running of the mile, which will again feature a star-stacked international field to take on world-renowned E.P. Taylor Turf Course. And when they do that, you're going to see horses like the Queen of the Turf, that's champion Teppan, who will take on the boys. You're going to see Mondialiste, who is so impressive in the last couple of outings here in North America, and should be a good one. The mile carries a purse of $1 million, and it all happens Saturday, September 17th. For more information, you can go to WoodbineRacetrack.com. Of course, be sure to check out those special wagers as well. Woodbine will have large guarantees. They'll offer 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools that afternoon. Again, you can learn more by visiting WoodbineRacetrack.com, hashtag W-O Mile. That's W-O Mile is Woodbine Mile. Short break, then we're coming back to take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup on the Equine Forum, on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for Saturdays at Saratoga and the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Apollopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back.
Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience. Wonder what it feels like to be an owner inside the paddock before your horse races, but don't know how to get started? Contact West Point Thoroughbreds to get inside the game. You can play in a big way right away by owning pieces of multiple horses, which can increase your chances of action. West Point Thoroughbreds has been professionally managing racing partnerships for 20 years. West Point Thoroughbreds is the gold standard in racing partnerships. Visit westpointtv.com. That's westpointtv.com. This advertisement is for informational purposes only and is not an offer to sell securities. Ramsey Farms Kitten's Joy.
They're racing up to the wire. De Visadero with a nose down in front to win it.
It is going to be Camelot Kitten. Camelot Kitten did it.
But the Christmas pass to Sharp Kitty by three.
A champion sire who continues to prove he's world class.
Tarif takes him on, and Tarif gets up to beat George Patton.
Inside the final 100 yards. Horse build just going on to win the Eclipse.
Kitten's Joy, a world class sire. Standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 17th for the 8th annual Race for the Ribbon program. Combining the excitement of high-stakes racing with raising money for the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure West Virginia affiliate. The night features 13 races, including 8 stakes and nearly $1 million in purse money, highlighted by the Grade 3 $350,000 Charlestown Oaks. Racing kicks off with a special first post of 5 p.m. Eastern. That's the Race for the Ribbon program in the $350,000 Charlestown Oaks coming up on Saturday, September 17th.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the top of the stretch, and then it's perfect drift. Oratorio will come through on the inside. Starcraft is laboring, and Chop Tarnation begins to roll up on the far outside, and they head for home in the Classic. Here's St. Lamb, exhorted to the lead by Jerry Bailey. They're in front with one furlong to go. Flower Alley fighting him stubbornly all the way. A pitch battle at the 16th to go. On the outside, Perfect Drift's wide. They're coming down to the line, and St. Lamb has won the 22nd Breeders' Cup Classic. Flower Alley was second.
Tom Durkin with the call of that 2005 running of the Breeders' Cup Classic. St. Liam with the victory that afternoon. He is the last horse to win both the Woodward and the Breeders' Cup Classic in the same season. That is, of course, what Frosted and all of the other contenders in this afternoon's Woodward are hoping for as we make our way down that road to the Breeders' Cup November 4th and 5th at Santa Anita. And it is indeed time now to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup.
This is The Road to the Breeders' Cup.
In the race of the year, for Horse of the Year.
Presented by Gainsway on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And a good chance to remind you that we are your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships, now 10 years running, and very proud to be able to say that. We'll bring you exclusive coverage of both days, Friday and Saturday. And for those of you who are planning on attending the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita, you'll want to make sure you take a look at our kiosk when you walk into Santa Anita those afternoons, because you're going to be able to pick up a free live sport radio. That's right. You'll be able to listen to our coverage in your ear anywhere that you go at Santa Anita throughout the day. We'll bring you that coverage and bonus coverage as well on the radios when you pick them up for free when you attend the races at Santa Anita. That's going to be pretty cool. And you're going to be able to hear the races in both English and Spanish with the all-new HRN and Espanol. And you can check out at HRRN and Espanol on Twitter to learn more.
Yeah, lots of good stuff going on. I love those live sport radios. They're fantastic.
Yeah, they're really cool. They're really cool. All right, we're going to hear from jockey Joel Rosario right after we take time out for a quick word from Gainesway.
Power.
But Frosted has won with ease in the Whitney.
Passion.
It was creator and destined right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
Time and Motion's got her. Time and Motion has upset Catch a Glimpse in the Lake Placid.
Gainesway Stallion Tappet, the two-time champion sire, is once again the leading general sire in 2016. Tappet has produced 17 Grade 1 winners, 50 graded stakes winners, 13 millionaires, and more than $100 million in lifetime progeny earnings, and was the leading commercial sire at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga Selected Yearling Sale by both average and median. Find your Tappet yearling at the upcoming Keeneland September Sale. When you purchase a Tappet yearling, your chance of getting a graded stakes winner is the highest. Tappet, standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
And Joel Rosario took the time to visit with me yesterday, and he talked about what it's like to be aboard Frosted, who he rides in the Woodward later today, and he started by looking back on that performance last time out here at Saratoga in the Whitney.
Spend a minute, Joel, looking back on that last race in particular, the Whitney. How good was that performance?
It was very good performing, and it's the same way he did it in the mid-mile. And in this race last time, but he's a good horse, and he been running the whole year. You know, he was behind American Fighter all the time. You know, he, even when American Fighter win the Belmont, he was the one who was chasing Tuning for Home. Thought for a second we're gonna get there, but just American Fighter take off, and you know, American Fighter was a super horse at that time. So he's a good horse.
Which effort impressed you more, the Met Mile or the Whitney?
I think both races, the Met Mile, the way he did it, he went easy. And then this race, the other day, he really looked easy too. And then actually it was something different. He went, you know, went to the lead, and I don't think he probably, you know, this his race. And then he still go there and cruising along and you know, come with a win. So he's sure right there that he's doing very good right now.
Well, he was cruising along at a really high speed in the Whitney. You turned up the backstretch, and the half mile was ridiculously fast. Did you know you were going that quick?
Well, it's hard to tell because he's a nice cruising horse, and he's a very good horse. And my concern all the whole race was, like, you know, to be comfortable or whatever it was. And then I find myself in the lead. There was not a lot of speed in the race, and then I just trying to, you know, pull the race the way he would come up that day.
Put me in the saddle with you for a minute. What's it like to ride Frosted when he starts to pull away down the stretch?
Oh, it's amazing. And he's, you can see, you know, the way he's doing, the way he's just covered ground, and he's doing it so easy. You know, he's a very talented horse.
What's different between his three-year-old season and the way he's matured as a four-year-old? What's different underneath you when you ride him now?
I think he's stronger now. He's a stronger horse, and he's more consistent probably now, and then this is who's making a better horse now.
What's the key to riding him? Is he push button? Is he a horse that you have to get into a little bit? What's the key?
Actually, he's easy to ride. He just, like, you just go there and see that, and he do the work. I wish that every horse that I ride was like him. He's very easy to ride. Like, you know, I've been riding him, since I think his third or fourth race, you know, when he's been running. And I work in the morning, so I'm pretty know the way he probably like to run, and I think I'm, you know, making us a good team.
Well, they certainly have been a good team. You heard the national anthem playing in the background in that interview. We had to wrap it up very quickly as they started playing the national anthem, but a lot of good stuff from Joel in those couple of minutes. And, you know, you think about the team that they've been able to establish and the relationship he's had with Frosted over the past couple of years. Frosted really coming into his own right now.
Yeah, I mean, his last couple of races have been off the hook, and he's a very talented horse, and he's finally, whether it's the light bulb finally came on or, you know, he's just maturing and getting super, super good right now. He's definitely a major force in our game.
I asked him about those rapid fractions in the Whitney last time out. As they turned up the backside, they were really moving along pretty quickly. A lot of people probably weren't saying nice things about Joel at that point because they were going so fast in a mile and an eighth race. But as you heard Joel say, he's a horse that just has a very high cruising speed.
Yeah, well, he has gotten that way. And, you know, fractions are funny. A lot of times it depends on the track. It depends on how a horse is being pressed. I was more impressed with his race last time out than his previous race where he opened up and beat a relatively weak field by, you know, 10 lengths. I thought last time out he really ran a super race.
Does he win the Woodward today?
I think so. I don't really think there's a lot to beat in there. Eddie's horse may press him a little bit, and he's a game horse. I really like Braidster. I have tremendous affection for him and respect, but I think the way that Frosted's going right now, he's going to be a pretty tough customer.
In 15 seconds or less, who wins the Grade 1 Win and You're In Spinaway?
Oh, wow. I like a long shot in that race. I like Fun. And she's going to be coming from off the pace, and I think that's going to be the key. Anytime Ian Wilkes wins with a first-time starter, I figure that must be a great horse because he's like 4% or something with first-time starter. So I'm taking Fun in the Spinaway.
Number four, Fun for the Ponte for the pick four. That's going to about do it for us here this morning. We're back this afternoon, 5 to 6 Eastern Time with that coverage of the Spinaway and the Woodward. You can tune in exclusively worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Want to say some thank yous to everybody for making this show possible, including our guest, Terry Finley, who you heard in the first half of the program, Mike Lakow, the new agent for Javier Castellano, trainer Eddie Keneally, and, of course, Joel Rosario just moments ago. For our producer, Lee Delapina, back in our Lexington studio, for my beautiful wife, Michelle, on site, for the Ponte for the Pick Four, we'll talk to you this afternoon. I'm Mike Pena, and hey, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.